We finally win the heart of a man or woman we've been pining for, and suddenly find we have a wandering eye. People can be insatiable. The Stoics believe that these kinds of desires and ambitions are not worth pursuing. The objective of the virtuous person is to reach a state of tranquility, apatheia, the absence of negative feelings such as anxiety, fear, shame, vanity and anger, and the presence of positive feelings such as happiness, love, serenity and gratitude. In order to keep their minds virtuous, the Stoics practice something like negative visualization. They imagine the worst thing that could happen in order to be prepared if certain privileges and pleasures were taken from them. To practice negative visualization, we have to reflect on negative events, but without worrying about them. Seneca, one of the richest men in ancient Rome, lived a life of luxury but was, nonetheless, an active Stoic. He recommended practicing negative visualization every night before falling asleep. In fact, he not only imagined these negative situations, he actually put them into practice. For example, by living for a week without servants, or the food and drink he was used to as a wealthy man. As a result, he was able to answer the question, what's the worst thing that could happen? Meditating for healthier emotions. In addition to negative visualization and not giving in to negative emotions, another central tenet of Stoicism is knowing what we can control and what we can't, as we see in the Serenity Prayer. Worrying about things that are beyond our control accomplishes nothing. We should have a clear sense of what we can change and what we can't, which in turn will allow us to resist giving in to negative emotions. In the words of Epictetus, it's not what happens to you, but how you react that matters. In Zen Buddhism, meditation is a way to become aware of our desires and emotions and thereby free ourselves from them. It is not simply a question of keeping the mind free of thoughts, but instead involves observing our thoughts and emotions as they appear, without getting carried away by them. In this way, we train our minds not to get swept up in anger, jealousy, or resentment. One of the most commonly used mantras in Buddhism focuses on controlling negative emotions. Om Mani Padme Hum, in which Om is the generosity that purifies the ego, Ma is the ethics that purifies jealousy, Ni is the patience that purifies passion and desire, Pad is the precision that purifies bias, Mi is the surrender that purifies greed, and Hum is the wisdom that purifies hatred. The here and now and the impermanence of things. Another key to cultivating resilience is knowing in which time to live. Both Buddhism and Stoicism remind us that the present is all that exists, and it is the only thing we can control. Instead of worrying about the past or the future, we should appreciate things just as they are in the moment, in the now. The only moment in which you can truly be alive is the present moment, observes the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. In addition to living in the here and now, the Stoics recommend reflecting on the impermanence of things around us. The Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius said that the things we love are like the leaves of a tree. They can fall at any moment with a gust of wind. He also said that changes in the world around us are not accidental, but rather form part of the essence of the universe, a rather Buddhist notion, in fact. We should never forget that everything we have and all the people we love will disappear at some point. This is something we should keep in mind, but without giving in to pessimism. Being aware of the impermanence of things does not have to make us sad. It should help us love the present moment and those who surround us. All things human are short-lived and perishable, Seneca tells us. The temporary, ephemeral, and impermanent nature of the world is central to every Buddhist discipline. Keeping this always in mind helps us avoid excessive pain in times of loss. Wabi-sabi and ichigo-ichie. Wabi-sabi is a Japanese concept that shows us the beauty of the fleeting, changeable, and imperfect nature of the world around us. Instead of searching for beauty in perfection, we should look for it in things that are flawed, incomplete. This is why the Japanese place such value, for example, on an irregular or cracked teacup. Only things that are imperfect, incomplete, and ephemeral can truly be beautiful, because only those things resemble the natural world. A complementary Japanese concept is that of ichigo ichie, which could be translated as, "This moment exists only now and won't come again." It is heard most often in social gatherings as a reminder that each encounter, whether with family, friends, or strangers, is unique and will never be repeated, meaning that we should enjoy the moment and not lose ourselves in worries about the past or the future. The concept is commonly used in tea ceremonies, Zen meditation, and Japanese martial arts, all of which place emphasis on being present in the moment. In the West, we've grown accustomed to the permanence of the stone buildings and cathedrals of Europe, which sometimes gives us the sense that nothing changes, making us forget about the passage of time. Greco-Roman architecture adores symmetry, sharp lines, imposing facades, and buildings and statues of the gods that outlast the centuries. Japanese architecture, on the other hand, doesn't try to be imposing or perfect, because it is built in the spirit of wabi-sabi. The tradition of making structures out of wood presupposes their impermanence and the need for future generations to rebuild them. Japanese culture accepts the fleeting nature of the human being and everything we create. The Grand Shrine of Ise, for example, has been rebuilt every 20 years for centuries. The most important thing is not to keep the building standing for generations, but to preserve customs and traditions. Things that can withstand the passage of time better than structures made by human hands. The key is to accept that there are certain things over which we have no control, like the passage of time and the ephemeral nature of the world around us. Ichigo Ichie teaches us to focus on the present and enjoy each moment that life brings us. This is why it is so important to find and pursue our ikigai. Wabi-sabi teaches us to appreciate the beauty of imperfection as an opportunity for growth. Beyond resilience, anti-fragility. As the legend goes, the first time Hercules faced a hydra, he despaired when he discovered that cutting off one of its heads meant that two would grow back in its place. He would never be able to kill the beast if it got stronger with every wound. As Nassim Nicholas Taleb explains in Anti-Fragile, Things That Gain from Disorder, we use the word fragile to describe people, things, and organizations that are weakened when harmed, and the words robust and resilient for things that are able to withstand harm without weakening. But we don't have a word for things that get stronger when harmed, up to a point. To refer to the kind of power possessed by the Hydra of Lerna, to talk about things that get stronger when they are harmed, Taleb proposed the term anti-fragile. Anti-fragility is beyond resilience or robustness. The resilient resists shocks and stays the same. The anti-fragile gets better. Catastrophes and exceptional circumstances offer good models for explaining anti-fragility. In 2011, a tsunami hit the Tohoku region of Japan, doing tremendous damage to dozens of cities and towns along the coast, most famously Fukushima. When we visited the affected coast 2 years after the catastrophe, having driven for hours along cracked highways and past one empty gas station after another, we passed through several ghost towns whose streets have been taken over by the remnants of houses, piles of cars, and empty train stations. These towns were fragile spaces that had been forgotten by the government and could not recover on their own. Other places, such as Ishinomaki and Kesennuma, suffered extensive damage but were rebuilt within a few years, thanks to the efforts of many. Ishinomaki and Kesennuma showed how resilient they were in their ability to return to normal after the catastrophe. The earthquake that caused the tsunami also affected the Fukushima nuclear power plant. The Tokyo Electric Power Company engineers working at the plant were not prepared to recover from that kind of damage, the Fukushima nuclear facility is still in a state of emergency and will be for decades to come. It demonstrated its fragility in the face of an unprecedented catastrophe. The Japanese financial markets closed minutes after the earthquake. Which businesses did the best in the aftermath? Stock in big construction companies had been steadily on the rise since 2011. The need to rebuild the entire coast of Tohoku is a boon for construction. In this case, Japanese construction companies are anti-fragile, since they benefited enormously from the catastrophe. Now, let's look at how we can apply this concept to our daily lives. How can we be more anti-fragile? Step 1. Create more options. Instead of having a single salary, try to find a way to make money from your hobbies, at other jobs, or by starting your own business. If you have only one salary, you might be left with nothing should your employer run into trouble, leaving you in a position of fragility. On the other hand, if you have several options and you lose your primary job, it might just happen that you end up dedicating more time to your secondary job and maybe even make more money at it. You would have beaten that stroke of bad luck and would be, in that case, anti-fragile. 100% of the seniors we interviewed in Ogimi had a primary and secondary occupation. Most of them kept a vegetable garden as a secondary job and sold their produce at the local market. The same idea goes for friendships and personal interests. It's just a matter, as the saying goes, of not putting all your eggs in one basket. In the sphere of romantic relationships, there are those who focus all their energy on their partner and make him or her their whole world. Those people lose everything if the relationship doesn't work out, whereas if they've cultivated strong friendships and a full life along the way, they'll be in a better position to move on at the end of the relationship. They'll be anti-fragile. Right now, you might be thinking, I don't need more than one salary, and I'm happy with the friends I've always had. Why should I add anything new? It might seem like a waste of time to add variation to our lives because extraordinary things don't ordinarily happen. We slip into a comfort zone, but the unexpected always happens sooner or later. Step 2. Bet conservatively in certain areas and take many small risks in others. The world of finance turns out to be very useful in explaining this concept. If you have $10,000 saved up, you might put $9,000 of that into an index fund or fixed-term deposit and invest the remaining $1,000 in 10 startups with huge growth potential, say $100 in each. One possible scenario is that three of the companies fail. You lose $300. The value of three other companies goes down. You lose another $100 or $200. The value of three goes up. You make $100 or $200. And the value of one of your startups increased 20-fold. You make nearly $2,000 or maybe even more. You still make money, even if three of the businesses go completely belly up. You've benefited from the damage, just like the Hydra. The key to becoming anti-fragile is taking on small risks that might lead to great reward without exposing ourselves to dangers that might sink us, such as investing $10,000 in a fund of questionable reputation that we saw advertised in the newspaper. Step 3. Get rid of the things that make you fragile. We're taking the negative route for this exercise. Ask yourself, what makes me fragile? Certain people, things, and habits generate losses for us and make us vulnerable. Who and what are they? When we make our New Year's resolutions, we tend to emphasize adding new challenges to our lives. It's great to have this kind of objective, but setting good riddance goals can have an even bigger impact. For example, stop snacking between meals. Eat sweets only once a week. Gradually pay off all debt. Avoid spending time with toxic people. Avoid spending time doing things we don't enjoy simply because we feel obligated to do them. Spend no more than 20 minutes on Facebook per day. To build resilience into our lives, we shouldn't fear adversity because each setback is an opportunity for growth. If we adopt an anti-fragile attitude, we'll find a way to get stronger with every blow, refining our lifestyle and staying focused on our ikigai. Taking a hit or two can be viewed as either a misfortune or an experience that we can apply to all areas of our lives as we continually make corrections and set new and better goals. As Taleb writes in Anti-Fragile, we need randomness, mess, adventures, uncertainty, self-discovery, hear traumatic episodes, all these things that make life worth living. We encourage those interested in the concept of anti-fragility to read Nassim Nicholas Taleb's Anti-Fragile. Life is pure imperfection, as the philosophy of wabi-sabi teaches us, and the passage of time shows us that everything is fleeting. But if you have a clear sense of your ikigai, each moment will hold so many possibilities that it will seem almost like an eternity. Epilogue. Ikigai, the art of living. Mitsuo Aida was one of the most important calligraphers and haikuists of the 20th century. He is yet another example of a Japanese person who dedicated his life to a very specific ikigai, communicating emotions with 17-syllable poems using a shodo calligraphy brush. Many of Aida's haiku philosophize about the importance of the present moment and the passage of time. See PDF. 今ここにしかない。私の命、あなたの命。The poem could be translated as, In the here and now, the only thing in my life is your life. In another poem, Aida writes simply, Here, now. It is an artwork that seeks to evoke feelings of mono no aware, a melancholy appreciation of the ephemeral. See PDF. 今ここ. The following poem touches on one of the secrets of bringing ikigai into our lives. Happiness is always determined by your heart. 幸せはいつも自分の心が決める. This last one, also by Aida, means keep going, don't change your path. そのままでいいかな. Once you discover your ikigai, pursuing it and nurturing it every day will bring meaning to your life. The moment your life has this purpose, you will achieve a happy state of flow in all you do, like the calligrapher at his canvas, or the chef who, after half a century, still prepares sushi for his patrons with love. Conclusion. Our ikigai is different for all of us, but one thing we have in common is that we are all searching for meaning. When we spend our days feeling connected to what is meaningful to us, we live more fully. When we lose the connection, we feel despair. Modern life estranges us more and more from our true nature, making it very easy for us to lead lives lacking in meaning. Powerful forces and incentives, money, power, attention, success, distract us on a daily basis. Don't let them take over your life. Our intuition and curiosity are very powerful internal compasses to help us connect with our ikigai. Follow those things you enjoy and get away from or change those you dislike. Be led by your curiosity and keep busy by doing things that fill you with meaning and happiness. It doesn't need to be a big thing. We might find meaning in being good parents or in helping our neighbors. There is no perfect strategy to connecting with our ikigai. But what we learned from the Okinawans is that we should not worry too much about finding it. Life is not a problem to be solved. Just remember to have something that keeps you busy, doing what you love while being surrounded by the people who love you. The 10 Rules of Ikigai. We'll conclude this journey with 10 rules we've distilled from the wisdom of the long-living residents of Ogimi. 1. Stay active. Don't retire. Those who give up the things they love doing and do well lose their purpose in life. That's why it's so important to keep doing things of value, making progress, bringing beauty or utility to others, helping out, and shaping the world around you, even after your official professional activity has ended. 2. Take it slow. Being in a hurry is inversely proportional to quality of life. As the old saying goes, walk slowly and you'll go far. When we leave urgency behind, life and time take on new meaning. 3. Don't fill your stomach. Less is more when it comes to eating for long life too. According to the 80% rule, in order to stay healthier longer, we should eat a little less than our hunger demands instead of stuffing ourselves. 4. Surround yourself with good friends. Friends are the best medicine. They're for confiding worries over a good chat, sharing stories that brighten your day, getting advice, having fun, dreaming. In other words, living. 5. Get in shape for your next birthday. Water moves. It is at its best when it flows fresh and doesn't stagnate. The body you move through life in needs a bit of daily maintenance to keep it running for a long time. Plus, exercise releases hormones that make us feel happy. 6. A cheerful attitude is not only relaxing, it also helps make friends. It's good to recognize the things that aren't so great, but we should never forget what a privilege it is to be in the here and now in a world so full of possibilities. 7. Reconnect with nature. Though most people live in cities these days, human beings are made to be part of the natural world. We should return to it often to recharge our batteries. 8. Give thanks to your ancestors, to nature, which provides you with the air you breathe and the food you eat, to your friends and family, to everything that brightens your day and makes you feel lucky to be alive. Spend a moment every day giving thanks, and you'll watch your stockpile of happiness grow. 9. Live in the moment. Stop regretting the past and fearing the future. Today is all you have. Make the most of it. Make it worth remembering. 10. Follow your ikigai. There is a passion inside you, a unique talent that gives meaning to your days and drives you to share the best of yourself until the very end. If you don't know what your ikigai is yet, as Viktor Frankl says, your mission is to discover it. The authors of this book wish you a long, happy, and purposeful life. Thank you for joining us. Hector Garcia and Francesc Mirares. Ikigai is published by Random House Audiobooks, a division of the Penguin Random House Group. Copyright, Hector Garcia and Francesc Mirares, 2017. Copyright and recording, Random House Audiobooks. Hector Garcia and Francesc Mirares have asserted their right under the Copyright Designs and Patents Act 1988 to be identified as the authors of this work.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.